let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
All right, here we go. Welcome in. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us today. We are going to take you for the next 2 hours. We've got a lot to get to today as we've got a full show. We're going to talk with Brian Walton from the Cardinal Nation in just a while. We'll talk through Cardinals prospects and the Cardinals minor league system. That's going to be, it's really interesting right now. It gets more and more interesting seemingly every time there is a window to improve the organization for the Cardinals. And there was just another window with the trade deadline. And we'll like that double-A Springfield team. The first question, I'll just tell you now. First question I'm going to ask Brian. In all of his years covering the Cardinals, has he ever, and Cardinals prospects, has he ever seen a single affiliate as stacked with prospects as the Springfield Cardinals are right now? I don't know. I'm sure there are some teams out there. You know, you think about all the guys who came up to help the Cardinals and the Memphis Mafia group back in the day. There were some good players, but the high end prospects that exist right now at Double A Springfield, it is something to behold. Plus, you've got a pretty good sprinkling of high level prospects all over the system. So we'll talk with Brian Walton coming up in just a little while. We'll also talk with MLS Apple TV broadcaster Carlos Ramirez. He is going to join us coming up in just a little while at about 6:35. We'll get his thoughts on what's going on with City SC. I feel bad for City fans right now because everything's going in the right direction. Team's playing well. It feels like there's adults in the room making decisions. You feel really good about the sporting director and the decisions he's making. You feel really good about the head coach and the decisions he's making. You feel great about the buy-in of the team. You feel really good about the system being implemented. Like, just good vibes all around. And I don't know if you've been paying attention or not, but good vibes hopped on a bus and left town along with Bradley Carnell a few years ago, and it took a while for them to come back. So they're back, but then the Hartle situation happens where, and look, I get it. There's personal stuff going on, and we don't know what that personal stuff is. It's not our business, but you arguably gave away your best player for nothing. You arguably gave away your best player for nothing. We always try to do the put this in another sport type thing. I don't know what that would be comparable to that could actually happen in other sports. Like, it just, we could create something weird and crazy. We could say the Cardinals trade away Jordan Walker for allocation, international allocation money, like what they gave for Caleb Ferguson, but that's not real. That doesn't actually happen. So it's hard to find a real life thing. Matthew Rocchio is in the house with us today. He knows more about City than I do. Do you have a good comparison?
I actually think we do because of the special circumstances. Just imagine if nothing changes, the return the Cardinals got is the exact same, but when they had to make the move, Stephen Piscotty was their best player.
But they actually got things back for Piscotty.
They did, but it was what amount of cents on the dollar would you equate that to?
Yeah, they
40 cents on the dollar.
Sure.
And my point is that City got less than that.
Yeah.
They're going to get 20 cents on the dollar maybe. But that's the comparison, is that their best player, because of a bunch of special situations the team can't control and they want to do right by him, it would just be, imagine if the Cardinals would have done what they did, but Stephen Piscotty was the best hitter on the team at the time. That's the closest comparison I can get for non-soccer fans here in St. Louis, is remember that situation, but what if he was a Tavares-level prospect?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but Stephen Piscotty was not to the Cardinals what Hartel is to City SC, yet the Cardinals got more for Piscotty than City got for Hartle.
So expand how angry you would be to a little bit more, and that's what City fans are doing.
Right now. I mean, Yair Munoz was part of that trade with Piscotty. I'm looking it up now. He had some time in the big leagues. He was a guy.
He had a couple big home runs.
So, yeah. You got something. And that was the thing. If you're the Cardinals in that situation, okay, you want to trade Stephen Piscotty to the Bay Area, to either Oakland or San Francisco, because of his family situation, and you want to honor him. That's great. But that doesn't mean give him away for nothing. That means call up the A's, call up the Giants, explain the situation, and say, this guy can make your team better. Let's find out the fairest deal possible. It doesn't feel like... Would have there been other options for City in that general region?
There should have been.
Okay.
Because I mean, Germany's not huge. There's a couple more teams that you could have put him within an hour of where he really needed to be. But for some reason, those other German teams didn't come calling. And I saw a great question where everyone's like, hey, the Cardinals did great by Hartle, or the city did great by him by letting him go. But you'd like maybe if his new team could have also maybe done their part of the bargain and paid at least a little bit closer to the fair market value price for the guy?
Yeah. I think that's fair. So we'll talk about that coming up in just, we haven't talked about that as much as we probably should have here. We haven't had many sports open lines, to be perfectly honest with you. But we haven't talked about that as much as we should have. We'll try to get into that coming up. Our good friend, he's a friend of the program, Jacob Sersosimo from Channel 4 KMOV. He is going to be with us. First Alert 4, that's what you're supposed to call it. We also have our community spotlight. That's all going to be coming up today. As always, if you want to chime in on the program, you could do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. Call, text, tweet at me at Matt Pauly on air. You can also leave comments on the video stream, like Holy Wheat Germ, who says it's really nice to hear Matthew. I know we're talking about Matthew Rocchio, not Matthew Pauly, because only my mom and my wife, when I'm in trouble, call me Matthew.
I respect you for being able to do the Matt thing as late as you have. I don't know why. I was like 31 where I was like, I don't know why. It feels like I'm getting yelled at for being a child when people yell Matt at me. So I added the extra letters.
Okay,
so.
There you go. And most people call both of us by some version of our last names.
Yep.
You're either Rock or Rocchio.
Yep.
Now, I will say when I text you and I call you, I don't know if because you're R-O-C-H-I-O.
R-O-C-C-H-I-O.
So when I call you Rock, should I spell it out R-O-C-H or should I spell it out R-O-C-K?
I always spell it because my Twitter is Rock STL. I just do R-O-C-C.
Okay.
But also, I'm now running into the problem if there's baseball fans out here who are seeing that pronunciation and going, hold on a second. The Guardians came through St. Louis a little bit while ago, and I saw something that was pronounced a little bit differently, and Brian Rocchio is spelt the exact same way, but it is pronounced a little bit different than the Guardians shortstop.
And for me, my last name being Pauly, many people think my first name is Paul because people call me Pauly, and they think it's just like a nickname. Hey, Pauly!
See, this is why hockey players being so lazy with their nicknames gets problematic.
It does, yeah. So, yeah, you got any Paul in hockey is Pauly. Yep. So if I'm Pauly, well, people just assume my first name is Paul when it is not. And then I have to explain that whole thing. But most people do just refer to me as Pauly because there's a million Matts in the world. There's Matt. When I was born in 1982, I think Matt was the number one name for 1982. You're younger than me.
There's never. Yeah, I was born in 91 and there's okay. Never not been multiple Matts. There was a Matt in my grade school class and that was like 30 kids and there was two of us. It's a very common name. That's why I've always liked going by my last name.
Yeah, so I'm the same way, yeah, kind of. My oldest daughter is Sophia, and she the year she was born, Sophia was the number one name. So she's
Matt. You had one job.
She hasn't had. I mean, she'll have like one. It's never been a situation where there's like four Sophias in her class.
One job. Not saddle your kid with a boring name like you got and tripped up on that.
We do spell it with an F.
Oh, okay.
Because my wife is Stephanie with an F, so we do Sophia with an F because it's the kind of the same.
My brother is Stephen with a PH.
Okay,
there you go. I tell you what, that throws people off.
It can for sure. Our youngest daughter is Annalie. That is not going to be as common.
I like what you're doing here. You're changing enough here.
Yeah,
like
we didn't. We stayed away from the common when we went when we did it again. All right, we'll take a break, and when we return, we'll talk with Brian Walton. Is the Springfield AA team right now the most packed prospect team since he has been covering Cardinals prospects? We'll talk about that and much, much more with Brian Walton in just a moment. You're locked into a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Cardinals off day today. They get back at tomorrow when they are going to open up a weekend series against the Cubs. right now, happy to welcome on to the program. He and his team do an incredible job covering Cardinals prospects, Cardinals player development. He is Brian Walton from the Cardinal Nation. You follow him on Twitter at @B_Walton. He joins us right now via the Quiver River Electric guest line. Brian, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on again, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So I said I was going to start you with this, and we'll zoom out from here. This current group at AA Springfield, when you look at all the high-level prospects that are there, in your years of covering the Cardinals and covering Cardinals prospects, have you ever seen a team with as many high-level prospects as what is currently on this Springfield roster?
I haven't sat down and done the math, but I will tell you that with the latest round of promotion came up, Peoria, High A Peoria, that AA Springfield roster is stacked. And they're in a very good, they're in first place right now in their division in the second half. And they, of course, they've got a bunch of new guys, so they're gelling as a team. But you look at offensively, pitching-wise, and even bullpen, which has been traditionally a problem for AA, that Springfield team is lined up really, really well.
What did you think about the return that the Cardinals got at the deadline for the trades that they pulled off with both Milwaukee and Arizona?
There was a lot of concern in Brewer land, and the Brewers have a very good farm system. They and the Cardinals are in the top five of farm system, most prognosticators' view of the farm system. And gave up Alexander Frias and Josiah Ragsdale in the trade that, of course, sent Dustin May and JoJo Romero to Milwaukee. And both these outfielders, they're different kinds of players, but both these outfielders immediately slotted into the top 20 in the Cardinal system, almost the top 10. Yes, is more a toolsy guy, still down in, you know, low A, so he's a teenager. And there's, you know, just tons of potential there. Ragsdale's a guy who was a seventh rounder in 2025, is already in A, and can run, has a little power as well, and has the potential to get center field. We know that's a position of great interest to the Cardinals. I think in the trade with Milwaukee, of course, it's still early, but these were a couple guys that were probably going to leave at the end of the season anyway in May and Romero. And for them to get up two very, very good outfield prospects, I think, for St. Louis.
Hey, Brian, your phone connection is just a little bit off, so I'm going to have Matthew Rocchio hang up and give you a call back just to see if we can get a little bit better of a connection, because I can tell I could understand what you were saying, but I'm guessing there's a few people who are listening on the radio right now while they're driving along that maybe didn't totally comprehend everything that was being said with that connection. I know for me personally, I have an old Jeep, and it's a soft top. And there are times where I am like really turning that radio up, trying to be able to comprehend what's being said. And that's always a good reminder for me that when I've got somebody on and maybe the phone connection is a little bit off, I'm sitting here with headphones in a studio and I can hear, understand, but I always want to make sure the people listening can. So we'll try to get Brian. Brian, do we have you back here?
Yeah, hopefully this is better. I apologize about the problem.
No problem. Yeah, you sound great now. So we are in absolutely good shape. Yeah, specifically to Alexander Frias, and this is a super young guy. He's 18 years old. He's playing A-ball right now. It's going to be a while till Cardinals fans probably see him in the big leagues. But the general consensus is it's hard to get a top 100 level prospect, especially at the trade deadline for rentals. And depending on who's doing the rankings, Frias maybe is top 100 or maybe just outside the top 100. But that's a remarkable return at the trade deadline to get somebody the stature of Frias.
You're right. And, you know, as you pointed out, Matt, and I mentioned it before, I don't know if you heard me, but again, these guys are guys that are, you know, their contracts are going to expire at the end of the year in May and Romero. And Frias is going to be in the Cardinals organization hopefully for a long, long time. And Baseball America has him firmly in their top 100, you know, not too far behind Joshua Baez. So, you know, it's early and we can't get excited about a guy in A-ball. But Alexander Frias did a tremendous job for the Brewers in their rookie-level team. And he's going to get a chance here in the last month to play every day for low-A Palm Beach. And we'll see what we've got.
Is there a guy this year? A lot of people have really kind of fallen in love with Jacob Odell this year. He's somebody that wasn't on a lot of radars coming in this year, but has performed at a high level. Whether it's him or somebody else, is there somebody in the developmental system this year that's really surprised you and you've really taken note of that we have not done much talking about?
There's a man named Joker Fajardo. Yep. And he moved up from Peoria to Springfield. And this young man is striking out batters at a 32% rate. But unlike a lot of the other high strikeout pitchers that the Cardinals either have in-house or brought in, Fajardo's walk rate is under 8%. So you've got a young man who's just breaking into Class A, Class AA, 19 years old, and is pitching extremely well in all aspects of the game. And I think Fajardo will end up going back to AA next year to start the season. But again, a teenager at AA, very, very unusual. There are only five teenagers in all of baseball at AA, and two of them are in the Cardinal system. Of course, top hitting prospect Reynel Rodriguez is the other.
Yeah, Rodriguez shouldn't be there, like in the sense of his age, because for the reasons that you just stated. And then for him to be doing what he is doing right now, it's incredible. This guy is so young, and he's playing at such a high level, and he's putting him in a cell and putting himself in position where it's not out of the realm of possibility that maybe we see him in the big leagues at some point, maybe late next season. You don't know when that AAA promotion comes. They certainly don't have to hurry him, but I don't think anybody expected him to maybe get to AA this year, and even if he did, to be doing the things that he's doing at age 19.
Yeah, Reynel Rodriguez just tore up the Midwest League when he was with Peoria. And, he earned that promotion to AA. There's no doubt about it. In the first couple weeks, he struggled a little bit. And that's not unusual for a young man, adapting to a new level. And then he put the pedal to the floor, and he's putting up numbers just as good as he did, in high A ball. And I think Reynel Rodriguez will be the starting catcher at AAA Memphis next season. And, of course, that means he's just one step away. But there's this issue of, there's still even with Joel Pozo having left the organization, they still have too many catchers for the spots that they have, and they're going to have to figure out how to, shake that out. But I don't think Reynel Rodriguez is a guy that they're going to give up.
You have Crooks on the big league roster. You have Bernal at AAA. You have Rodriguez at AA. All those guys in other organizations would be viewed as potentially starting catchers for the organization moving forward. The Cardinals have three of them, and that doesn't even include the Ivan Herrera, Pedro Páez situation that you have right now. If you were in charge and you had to navigate through this catching situation over the next year or two, what would you do?
Well, I think probably you're going to maybe migrate Herrera to another position, and that's a little difficult since first base is already taken with Alec Burleson in St. Louis. I think Pedro Páez, he gets great marks for his role on the team, and he certainly does come up with big hits now and then, but he's probably the guy that's going to be the odd man out. I think, Crooks is going to get a good runway, hopefully, here the last couple of the months of the season to show what he can do, because interestingly enough, his numbers at AAA Memphis – were very, very similar to Leo Bernal's right now before he came up when Crooks was at AAA. And, we haven't talked enough about Leo Bernal. I mean, the Cardinals organization named him the co-player of the month for the month of July today, earlier today. I mean, he had something like 24 RBI in 17 games and 1,100 OPS, tons of extra base hits, switch hitter, 22 years old, mature far beyond his age. Leo Bernal, we're having a debate right now. My partner Kyle Reese and I here at the Cardinal Nation, we're updating our prospect rankings that we do every month, our top 50. And Kyle is really trying to convince me that Leo Bernal should be ranked higher than Joshua Baez right now. I'm not there yet, but I understand where he's coming from. The consistency that Bernal has is really admirable. And, strikeout rate below 20%, walk rate 12%. Those are really, really solid numbers for Leonardo Bernal.
Do you feel like Joshua Baez has cleaned up the stuff that he needed to clean up, that it's now appropriate, whether it's tomorrow or it's 2 weeks from now? Is this a point now where Baez has maybe checked off the boxes you wanted him to check off before getting the major league promotion?
I think those checks are at least in pencil. They may not be in solid ink yet. But I think the areas that were most concerning perhaps were batting average was low, down in the 220, 230 range. Now he's got it up above 250. The strikeout rate has been high, but he's got it below 30%, and he's been making progress there. An interesting point, Matt, the last few days, Baez had been playing all over the outfield. One of the things the Cardinals do is they try to, guys that have the capability to play in center, they try to keep giving them time there so that they can be more versatile. before they have to lock in on a position. But for the last few days, Joshua Baez has been playing exclusively in left field for AAA Memphis, and I don't think that's a coincidence.
No, generally things like that are not a coincidence at all. Before we let you go, give a plug for the Cardinal Nation. You mentioned a moment ago how you redo the prospect rankings on a monthly basis. You've got great content that's going up every single day. If people want to take it in, what do they need to do?
Just come to thecardinalnation.com, and you'll see a mix of articles. Most of our articles are free, but some are for subscribers only. We have a team of reporters in all the minor league affiliate cities because, of course, we can't be everywhere all the time. And then we have, as I mentioned, the new prospect rankings each month. We go through our own pitchers and player of the month, a detailed analysis by stats of the various players, have a very busy message board and forum. We have a prospect guide. 276 pages of detailed information about Cardinals prospects that people can purchase in PDF form or book. So a lot going on 365 days a year at thecardinalnation.com.
It is, again, thecardinalnation.com. He is Brian Walton. Brian, always appreciate you taking some time with us. We'll do this again real soon.
Thank you, Matt.
Awesome. Very good. There's Brian Walton joining us on the program. We are going to take a break, and we're going to switch gears coming up in just a moment as we're going to spend some time talking with Carlos Ramirez from MLS, from Apple TV's coverage of MLS soccer. We'll do that coming up in just a moment as we roll on. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back in on KMOX, it is a Graybar Sports Open Line. My name's Matt Pauley. Glad to have you with us today. We are efforting Carlos M. Ramirez, and we'll try to get him on here in the next moment or so as he is set to join us to talk all things City SC. City back at it coming up this weekend as they are going to be on the road to take on San Jose. Been a little while since they last played. It's been a good run. It's been a really good run for City here for a while. Last time they actually took a loss was all the way. Let's see, what was that? Was that in early May when they lost to Austin? I guess it was. I mean, it's been quite some time. There's some ties in there. So certainly some wins in there. They got the week off last week. If you're going to lose your top player, arguably your top player, your player who has produced the most for you this year in Marcel Hartl, at least it happens on a week where you've got a little bit of extra time. I know they were back onto the practice field going through training this week, and we'll see what they're able to do on the road against San Jose coming up in just a while. But yeah, we are hoping to talk with him coming up in just a moment. I am going to hand something to my producer, Matthew Rocchio, to make sure he can deal with this, and we'll try to get him on in case we had the number incorrect. But yeah, we are trying to reach out to him, and we'll talk through. Again, that's the biggest storyline right now on with this team, that they've got so much positive momentum in so many areas, and then they're losing a guy who has been such a huge part of who the team is. Now they do have a new player who we could see this weekend in Carlo Holse. He had to go through the process of being able to, from an international standpoint, having all the paperwork to be able to play and be able to work here domestically, and that's all done. He was able to get onto the practice field, so that's good. But he, when he was brought in, a world where you still had Hartl on the roster. And then he is not there. And all of a sudden, when you look at a Holse, maybe his role changes a little bit based off the fact that the roster looks a little bit different. So we'll see what it looks like. You hope that you are going to be able to continue to have some momentum, that the team is going to continue to play well. It just felt like everything was going right for this team finally. And it had taken literally years to get to that point because of just some of the bad decisions and the wrong people that have been in place. And that is not the case anymore. And you just don't want somebody to kind of a situation to knock them off track by any stretch of the mind. I think we have Carlos M. Ramirez available. Yep, Carlos M. Ramirez. He is part of the team, bilingual broadcaster, working with MLS TV, or MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. Carlos joins us right now. Carlos, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you make of this City team right now where everything is going so well for them, but then all of a sudden they have to move on from a guy in Marcel Hartl who's been arguably their top player this year, and they're going to try to keep the momentum going in a positive direction, but they're not going to have one of the biggest pieces available to them.
Well, that's a challenge. When you have 9 games in a row without a loss, and you now, you know, in a very ambiguous way, or I should say in a conundrum, or it's a paradox, if you would. You don't lose 9 games in a row, yet you lost your biggest piece, right, in Hartl. So that's football or soccer in a nutshell. First of all, you have to commend the way St. Louis City has behaved and the way they cater to what is clearly a personal situation and a family matter or endeavor for Hartl, because otherwise he would have stayed with St. Louis and the club. So classy organization, classy franchise. And if I'm a player and I see how they just treated Hartl, that's encouraging. And that tells me that's a team that I would love to play for. And a coach that puts the person ahead of the player, you want to go there. Having said that, on a less romantic side, it's going to be a challenge because they just lost a player who provided 6 goals to be their leading scorer and who was their second best assist man behind Betcher with 4. So that's the challenge. Now, the flip side is they moved and they have a plan in place in Carlo Hossa, the Danish player out of the Turkish league, who has very similar profile and numbers to the ones that Marcel just left behind. So if you trust what the front office has done and what you trust what Coach Juan Dame has done, you would just hope that they can plug and play him and things should continue to at least cruise. And we know soccer and sports in general maybe doesn't work that way, but that's the expectation and hope that the team should have right now.
Yeah, and that's something that they can rely on a little bit. It is kind of weird because when they bring in Jose, they bring him in with the idea that Hartle's on this team and how are those guys going to be able to work together. And now all of a sudden, to your point, he's got to come in and, you know, people are going to be viewing him almost as a replacement, even though he wasn't brought in as a replacement.
Yeah, and I think the name to at least right now focus on, because you don't want to put too much pressure on Hossa, even though the number attached to his contract and acquisition is significant. And every player in sport plays with 2 different numbers on its jersey, his actual number and the number he cost. So Hossa will have to play with both digits or both numbers in the back of his shirt. But I think the player that is you want to keep an eye on is Edward Lovett. And what he's done or hasn't done, and is he able and capable now of stepping up his game and providing? Because if you just leave everything to Hossa, that might be a weight too heavy to carry for just one man. But if Lovin steps up and becomes the playmaker he can become, or at least St. Louis City believe he can become, then you have a different scenario. You have a better, a wider, deeper midfield. You have a player who can provide from both the wing and the 10, and who can feed whatever striker you want to showcase. So that to me is a name to just keep in mind. If Edward Lovin can do something different, then you're cooking with something else.
To me, it feels like this team is a little bit ahead of schedule just based off what they've done recently. Going into the season, expectations were not overly high, and even the way they started off the season was not especially good. But over the last couple months, something has really clicked, and a lot of credit does go to Yon DeMay and Corey Ray, the sporting director. What have you seen from this team really since mid-May to where they're at right now?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And I think it's a combination of repetition. When you have a young coach, the youngest coach in the league, and who's also finding his way, even though he's got a very clear idea of what kind of football he wants his squad to play, he's still finding out his own voice. He's still discovering what works, what doesn't. So to your point, yes, I think they're ahead of schedule, which is not a bad thing. I think he understands that soccer – and this is something I hope, I would hope most fans in the world understand. soccer has such a level of luck or bad luck attached to it that if you only evaluate a team for its results, you're leaving away or just you're stepping away from so much nuance and so much growth or lack thereof. I think St. Louis City wasn't as bad as they were when the year started. And maybe they're not as good as they're playing right now. So is it a happy medium? Perhaps. But it's much easier for you to fix whatever GPS coordinates you need to fix to get your destination when you're winning versus having to do those adjustments in the middle of a just daunting or belly-aching loss or sequence of losses, right? So I think I agree with you. I think they're ahead of schedule. But now you have the chance to either raise the roof or raise the floor with the acquisition again of Olsa and the departure of Marcel Hartl.
It's a fun illustration this weekend. I'm sure you guys will touch on it. You've got the league's youngest head coach in Yoan DeMay. He's just 36 years old. And then Bruce Arena over at San Jose. He's 74 years old. He is the oldest head coach in the league. Fun to have those two guys going up against each other.
Yeah, it's a fun contradiction. It's the wonder of soccer. Dame could be Bruce Arena's son, easily. it's the old guard. It's the winningest coach in MLS history. Is a Hall of Famer and a guy who's trying to prove. So it's two different storylines. One is trying to prove that he's still viable, that he's still relevant. The other one is trying to prove that he is relevant, that he is viable. Bruce Arena has nothing to prove, only the fact that he can still do it. Dame has to prove that he can do it. To be honest, neither of them have. It's too soon for both. If Bruce Arena can keep this up and maintain some level of competency with his Quake squad, then we'll all say, yeah, we didn't see this coming. I didn't see this coming. I don't think anyone did. And if Dame can put this club into the playoff, then we'll all say, yeah, maybe he is one of the more advanced Wilfred Nancy disciples in MLS. As of now, that's not true. Because if the Quakes fall out of playoff contention, we'll all say in unison, yeah, Bruce Arena lost it. Mm-hmm. And if Yoan DeMay can't put St. Louis City on the map, we'll all say, inquire, he doesn't have it. So it's an interesting both contradiction, and at the same time, they're both weirdly in a very similar place.
Carlos M. Ramirez, part of the team with MLS Season Pass and Apple TV. Carlos, give a plug for that. I know you guys do such an amazing job covering MLS every single week, every single day, really, with a lot of the content that's going up. But for folks who have not yet experienced it, what can they get?
Man, it's this month. I just moved from San Jose to Miami a couple of weeks ago. If I've been in my new apartment 3 days, I'm lost track of time. And I don't even know if it's Monday or Thursday, man. It's so much action right now happening on MLS and Leagues Cup. We have a dual tournament happening right now with both a regular season with MLS and Leagues Cup, which is 18 teams from our league against the 18 Liga MX teams in a fascinating scenario and just a different format of competition. So you just go on Apple TV, subscribe. You don't need to pay anything else. Just pay your regular subscription, and you can enjoy everything soccer, everything MLS, everything Leagues Cup. You also have Formula One plus Ted Lasso and a bunch of great content. So, we have the replays. We have the highlights, everything. If you're a true soccer fan and if you love MLS, you have to have your Apple TV subscription and just enjoy every piece of content we put out there that is great and plentiful, and also bilingual. Because if you want to learn Spanish, you can do that. If you want to hear a different kind of call in Spanish, you can tune into that too.
I know you do both. Are you on the Spanish or the English call this weekend?
So this weekend I'm doing Español by myself. Next, then I have Real Salt Lake in Spanish again on Wednesday. And then I have Orlando against Real Salt Lake in English next weekend.
It takes an incredible talent to be a play-by-play broadcaster, period. To be able to do it in two separate languages is incredible.
Can I ask you a question? I know it's your show. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Because I always find this fascinating. what do you make of the difference? You both, as a broadcaster and a fan of the sport, what do you make of, because I worked in Telemundo over the World Cup, and many of the English-speaking fans tune into Telemundo because of the difference in the call of the game, the energy, the speed, the elongated goal, and what wasn't happening in it, which is a different school. What's your take? If someone would call the game in, not just copy-paste, but with the energy and some flair from Spanish on the English side, what do you think would happen?
It's a good question. I don't know if I would put, because the Cardinals here, we have Polo Asensio, who does the Spanish language radio broadcast, and I can't speak a lick of Spanish, but I love hearing his home run calls because of the excitement and the energy. I would have to, Carlos, to be perfectly honest with you, I would have to hear it before I know if I would like it or not. But I know, even not speaking English, I love hearing the excitement of Spanish calls.
Fair. Sure. And we have the best both in English and Spanish on Apple TV. So, yeah, tune in.
Carlos, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Let's do it again whenever you want.
All right.
Always.
Perfect. That's Carlos M. Ramirez joining us, part of the team over at Apple TV. We appreciate him taking a moment with us. We're late for a break. Let's get to it right now. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Very quick segment here. We went long with Carlos. That's all right. That was a fun conversation, to be sure. Speaking of fun conversations, our guy, Jacob Sersosimo from First Alert 4, he is set to join us coming up after the 7 o'clock news. Don't go anywhere. You're locked to a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.